On this Memorial Day weekend, we as a nation pay tribute to those who have died serving our nation, and we should be grateful for the sacrifice that they have made for us, so that we as Americans have the opportunity to enjoy freedoms that have been threatened in the past. The opportunities we have are protected by those who lay down their lives for us. To have peace is a very great thing. Stability and safety are required to raise a family, to build community. It is easy to take these things for granted. Peace is never so valued as when it has been absent for a time. I think about the times our nation celebrated after wars were finished, how we as a nation celebrated when peace was restored after World War II. And yet how quickly the call to arms followed again in Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, and not to mention all the places where police actions and peacekeeping missions were asked of our servicemen and women. Their sacrifices make peace a possibility, but not a certainty. But we still hold to the idea that peace is a good thing. We want it. We desire it. We seek it. We hope for it, not only in the realm of national security, but in our politics, in our communities, in our homes, in our workplaces. Peace is something we desire because having peace means we have harmony and stability, and it means we are safe and we don't have to be afraid. Jesus talks to us of peace in our gospel today. He says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give it to you." Where is this peace? We look around in our world, there is a great deal of unrest. There's division, injustice, fear-mongering, saber-rattling, violence, terrorism. We see all these things. So where is this peace you speak of, Lord? My peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. The peace that Jesus offers us is different. It's different from what the world offers us. The peace that we can craft for ourselves is inevitably broken. The treaties we work out, the laws we enact, the political and social reforms we struggle to attain, everything that we as humanity do on our own rests upon us. And there lies the fault line. That's why this kind of peace, the kind of peace that we really desire, can't be found here. And that's why we will never attain it by ourselves. True peace comes from God. And therefore, any attempt to have peace without God and apart from God fails. The lessons of history, the lessons of the Old Testament are clear. Humanity alone will always betray. We will always fall short. We will never be virtuous alone. And if we look back on our track record when we see, you know, all the ways we've tried to promote ourselves, try to create peace without God, it's one disaster after another. Fascism, communism, even democracy, when separated from God, ends in destruction of lives. Jesus tells us, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our dwelling with him." This is our hope for real peace, when we allow God to dwell with us, when we love God, when we keep his commandments, when we live in harmony with the Lord. It makes possible harmony even between ourselves. Any true peace can only be established when it rests on this. So we must seek the peace that comes from God. And that means when a nation enacts laws which oppose God's law, it is destined to have unrest. A nation that promotes a morality that goes against God's established principles that are rooted in the truth that every person is created in God's image. A nation or a people that does this will always fail to have true peace. Now, perhaps it sounds a little radical. Maybe it seems a little religiously fanatic. But in a way, it's simply the truth. We are certainly free to try and establish a peace and to govern ourselves according to whatever system of law and organization we like. But if it opposes what God naturally established, it will never be good for us. It will never produce the kind of peace that we're longing for. We must make a distinction there. This side of heaven, we're never going to have peace in a way that we long for it. that there's always going to be something off. Even in the Middle Ages, when the church was highly involved in the orchestrating the laws and enforcing them, even then there were problems. So I'm not saying that we can create a perfect world. But what I'm saying is that we can't. We can't do it. So therefore, putting our hopes in some earthly paradise, some earthly kingdom of perfection, is always a lost cause. But we should do the best we can to cooperate with the Lord and to establish a way of living together that is, as much as possible, in line with the divine law. Things like the Ten Commandments, the Eight Beatitudes, the teachings that we know to be true as Christians. If we love our country, we will serve her best by living our faith in its fullness in both our private life and our public life. Anytime you go directly against these principles, we can be sure we won't attain peace, even in the earthly sense. And here in our nation, we have legalized the killing of children. We have legalized the killing of the old, the unwanted, or the suffering. We have discarded the biblical view of marriage in almost every way possible. We have taken steps to remove the role of parents from taking care of their children. We have popularized and promoted promiscuity, infidelity, and many other things. There are consequences when a nation chooses to go down that path, and we have seen these consequences before our very eyes. We shall have no peace when we order our lives or our nation in such a way. Now what's the point, Father? Ranting on and on. Why do I go through all this? Well, it's this. When we see all the unrest and disorder around us, we can begin to think that we will find peace if we follow the path of the world. We might feel it's pointless to struggle against the tide. After all, when social norms promote immorality, it becomes easier to follow that path. But as Catholics, and I dare say as Christians, we should know. If we surrender to the world and live in a way that opposes the Lord, we will be complicit in this self-destruction. If instead we continue to promote and proclaim the peace that comes from living in union with God, we can become a source of salvation for our nation, for our communities, for our friends and our family members. Not that we save them ourselves, rather that God works through us. Anyone who cooperates with the Holy Spirit to live in a way that is in harmony with God's revealed law will be a source of blessing. Anyone who frustrates that life of grace by living opposed to God will be a source of damnation. Where do we find this path towards God? Jesus tells us. He says, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you." We have this opportunity to live in union with God in this life. What that looks like in the world will depend on where we find ourselves. It may mean we need to accept the scorn of others or the misunderstanding of others. God will give us the grace we need to respond to whatever challenges we face, though. We can be a voice for true peace. We need to do it with our actions, with our words, with our witness, with our testimony, with our votes, and if need be, with our deaths. So let us strive to be leaven in our nation for true peace, the peace that is found in Jesus Christ. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you.